We'll turn again to this chapter, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, very famous words. You'll find it very helpful to have your Bible open. I want to mention something almost from every verse here this evening. Don't worry, not into any great detail, but just to point things out that are so obvious, which is really what the book of Ecclesiastes is all about, the most obvious, and concerning the futility of life. In our old version, vanity. The word means a waste of time, a puff of wind. What's life all about? What is the purpose? And on especially a night like this, as we begin the new year of gospel services, well, we want to reflect. What is the purpose of life? Well, in this remarkable chapter, we have chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die. Well, I just want you to look at these verses as I mention them. And at this new year, the question is there any purpose to life? Well, many have said or thought about these things and thought, no purpose. We just enjoy ourselves as much as we can, drop into the grave, and that's the end of it. But oh, the Bible is such a revelation to us. The Word of God telling us the real purpose of life. And how we can truly be happy, not just now, but for all eternity. Oh, we look here and we ask a question on this first Sunday of the year. Well, a new year, is there any purpose to that? Is our calendar just a convenience for us as we've entered the first few days of a new year? Is it just to fix the dates so that for business and for life, well, we have some reference to when certain things happen? Is that just the case? Or is there something more significant for us as we come into this house of God here tonight? Is it a special day? Or is it just a figment of the imagination with no real significance at all? Does being here this evening to worship make it any different on this first Sunday of the year? Or should we reflect on the fact that we come to such a time and such a season? And should we reflect carefully about our lives and about eternity? Well, here in the first verse of our chapter, we ask, is there any significance to this season? Is there any purpose to this time of year? Oh, friends, let's think about this for just a short while here this evening. Is there a purpose for this particular time of year as today? Well, just look in an ordinary way at some of these things that we have here. A time to be born and a time to die. Nothing could be more evident. People know this. A time to plant. Well, I'm not a gardener, but even at this time of year, there are things that have to be got ready for the summer. And a time to pluck up that which is planted. Well, not necessarily in the gardening world. But some of the things that we've done, we need to root them up and get rid of them. The time to kill. Well, that seems sad, doesn't it? Well, we know of just wars, and we don't go into such a thing tonight, but there are things that need to be killed off in this world. Germs, disease, all sorts of things. Habit. Well, and a time to heal. Well, we have friends that need a time of healing, and we're very prayerful for them at the moment. A time to break down. Well, those of us that rather like building things and breaking things down from time to time, we understand about that. And there's time sometimes when something's had its use and we break it down, we get rid of it, and then we build something else up in its place. And there is a time to weep. And friends, there is times when we ought to weep with others that weep and come alongside and put our arms around them and weep with them, because we understand the great sadness and grief that they have come to. Well, and also a time to laugh. Well, there is an appropriate time for laughing, an appropriate time to be merry, an appropriate time in our families to be joyful, and yes, to pull each other's legs with our children and all sorts of things. Of course, we enjoy such a thing, such a great part of family life and of human experience, that there must be times when we can laugh. And yet there is a time to mourn, to be really sad and to be filled with grief. There are appropriate times and times to dance. Well, of course, the dancing in those days was a bit different to what we experience, but it means to be elated. It means to be filled with wonder and joy and to be excited. Well, of course, we're glad that there are those times also. A time to cast away stones. Well, we see the children on the beaches and they're piling up the sand as they gather the stones together and then they throw them into the sea. Well, in life, there are times when we do these things also. A time to embrace, not just literally kissing, but of course a time to embrace certain things. Certain times in our lives when we need to embrace certain things and see that they're important and take them to our hearts and make use of them. And, oh, that's so important. And yet there are other times when we've got to push things from us. A time when we need to refrain from embracing and push them from us and say, this is not appropriate for me. This is not doing me any good. And therefore we push them from us. A time to get and a time to lose. Well, it's good. It's good when, on occasion, we get things and we increase, perhaps even financially. But then also, it's probably a good time to lose things, to get rid of them, to see that they're not doing us any good. And a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Well, I don't know if this is something to do with the wardrobe, but maybe it comes to that sort of thing. We keep certain things, but other things, we get rid of them. We ring the changes, and sometimes it's most appropriate. A time to rend and a time to sow. Some things we need to tear up. Sometimes we need to tear up things in our lives. But then also there are times when we need to sow. We need to repair things. Things in our lives need a great repair. And there is a time to keep silence. It's just so appropriate that we just keep quiet and we don't say a word. There are other times when it's a time to speak. We must speak. We must speak out. We must say something. It's so important. A time to love, of course. Of course, we must love certain things. And a time to hate. Certain things we must hate. Just as God loves and God hates certain things, we must hate our sin. We must hate those things that break his law. A time of war, there always will be. And a time of peace, we're glad of it. Well, friends, the ordinary things of life. We know that everything does have its time and its place. Everything has its appropriate setting in our lives. And knowing that, we pause. We pause to ask, what is appropriate on this day? What is the purpose and the season that we should be seeing happening at this time? Well, another year has gone by. Are we any richer? Are we any more prosperous? Are we better off? Look there in verse 9. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? Are we any better off? Well, we may be. We may be. Or maybe not. But has it made any real difference to us? To us as people? To our characters? To our desires? Has it made any difference to our hearts? Or our wishes? Our longings? Our souls? Has all the toil and the trial and the labour of last year made any real difference to our lives as far as God is concerned? Perhaps we say, not the least, not the least. I'm the same as I was a year ago. Perhaps you might even say, I'm in the same old rut. Nothing has changed. I'm still in a wretched situation. Well, God has given us our lot in life and the things in which we will be occupied. See there in verse 10. I have seen the travail, says the writer, which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised therein. Well, God has brought us to the situation that we are in. He has placed us in our occupations, in our families, in our homes, in our churches. He has done that. And he has worked out things and ordered them in an amazing way, so that we might be happy and even content. Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. This is God's way. He has done everything to make us satisfied and happy and fulfilled. It's as if the whole world is before us. Look there again in verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts. He has placed all good things before us, even eternity, to enjoy. And though we cannot find out or understand all that God does and all that God plans, we know that he wants us to dwell content with all that he sends to us. Do you look at these few verses here? Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. And if we would see great peace and happiness in our lives and are content with his good gifts to us day by day, his gifts to us of life and work and food and daily necessity and family, rather than being discontent, we might be truly happy if we had all these things with contentment, and if we did not constantly yearn after things that are outside of our control, perhaps luxury, perhaps worldly pleasure and comfort, which take all our lives off to acquire and to heap up, well, then we might be truly content if we didn't hanker after all those things. And anyway, God controls all of our lives, and we have not the strength to go against him. We see that in verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Oh, friends, do you see, whatever we have, whatever we hanker after, whatever we strive for, whatever we're discontent in, we can't really do very much about it. God has set us and he controls all things in our lives. And though our hearts would often yearn after something new, perhaps a change of circumstances that we believe would bring the happiness that we seek in some way or other, yet any such change will show again something of that we read of here in verse 15. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. We hanker after something new, a new experience, a new possession, a new occupation. Friends, but there's nothing new. It's the same humdrum, the same difficulties, the same physical problems that we'll have in that situation. So then, what does God purpose for us? What is life all about? What should we turn our minds to at this season? What is the purpose of this particular time that the Lord must have us see and understand? God would have us to take notice and consider, as we look back on this past year and cast our eyes forward into the next year, he would have us to know that he is sovereign of this universe, that he is the one that appoints the seasons. You see that in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Who is it that brings such times to pass? God. God is sovereign in all those matters, of course. And none can go against him. None can stay his hand. And he does that for this great reason, as you see at the end of verse 14, that men should fear before him, that men should acknowledge him and see that he is the one in whose hand they are. And there should be a little healthy fear of that God who all our lifetime we have ignored. God gives us seasons. He shows us all that there are times for important happenings, a time to be born, of course, and a time to die. He does that so that we might learn to submit to him, to trust him, to fear to offend him or rebel against him, to more carefully seek after him so as to please him. The appropriate purpose of this time of year is to seek the Lord, whom we did not seek last year. To seek after the God who is in heaven more earnestly at this time than we ever did before. And why is that so, we ask? Why is it an appropriate time to seek and find the Lord? Well, because of verse 15, that which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. You see, God has looked into our hearts and taken notice of last year. He has recorded all things, and the chapter of last year is closed. But he requires what is past. For us, the last year is over. It's gone. We think of it as finished. We cannot do anything about it. But God has it on record. God has it on record. He has on record the sin of last year. He has on record how we listened and received his word all through last year. He has noted down in his book all that we received from him by way of good gifts and seen so often that we hardly ever acknowledge them as from him, the great giver of good gifts, and we never took any of his warnings seriously. He requires all that is past. He will call us into judgment for them. He will not let them pass as we do. We just hold up our hands and say, oh well, must do better. But God requires payment. He requires payment for broken law. He requires an answer as to why we never sought him earnestly. He requires a response as to why we never really believe him or trust him or yield our lives completely to him. He requires an answer. There is nothing that we can do that can change this past year, but so often God noted our lives. Look there, verse 16. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. Friends, that's strong language. Very strong language from the Bible, from our God. But God has noted every situation where we should have done the right thing and we didn't. Especially as far as he is concerned. And he has noted those many occasions when we sinned against him and his holy law. And we know that this is so true. Verse 17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. Oh, in our minds we know it instinctively that that is so true. A time is coming when all our years will have been used up, and God has his time and purpose then also. Verse 17, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, and there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. Oh, consider friends that this last year God has examined us. He has tested us and seen all that we have done and all that we have thought. In verse 18, the writer understands this concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, show them openly all their works and what they have done, and that they might see that they themselves are just like beasts. They're living their lives as if there were no spiritual aspect to their lives. They live their lives in this world as if they were just like a cat and a dog, one day to be laid in the grave, and that's the end of it. Wretched, wretched thing that we should ever think such a thing. Consider, friends, God has examined us, and he has noted all these things. He has shown them and made them manifest, even to our minds and to our hearts. And oh, there's coming a time when there will be no more hope for us in this world if we live like beasts. And the time and the season approaches, one year closer, when these verses 19 to 21 will be exactly true as we return to our Maker. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dies, so the other dies. Yea, they're all of one breath, so that a man has no distinction in that sense from the beasts. We're all going to die. And he concludes here, all is vanity. It seems as if life is a waste of time, futile, just like a puff of wind. Verse 20, all go to one place, all are of the dust, all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of a man that goeth upwards to our conception, and the spirit of a beast that goes down to the earth, to the grave? Oh, friends, the time's coming when this great purpose will come upon us all as we quit this world, and we shall stand before God. We do not know the future. We do not know the seasons that God has worked out for us. Look there at the end of verse 22. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? And it is good counsel to be content, as we see in verse 22, as this man who writes these things was content. Wherefore I perceive there is nothing really much better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. Oh, friends, to rejoice and to be content with what God brings to us from day to day. But most of all, consider He does such things that we might fear and reverence him, as we saw there at the end of verse 14, that men should fear before him. We are called upon to consider the past and to think on this new year. What does it tell us? What is the purpose of this time and season? Let me try to tell you, friends. Let me try to tell you, back in these few verses, 2 to 8, verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die. Let me tell you, friends, this is the purpose. It's time to be reborn. It's time to be born again of the Spirit of God. It's time to have your life renewed spiritually by God and by his Holy Spirit entering into us. It's a time to be reborn into the kingdom of God, that we might be a child of God. And it's a time to die. It's a time to die to self. It's a time to die to all our pride and wretchedness. It's a time to die to all that old life and to come and renew our lives in God as we are born again of his Spirit, our friends. It's a time to plant. It's a time to plant the word of God within your heart and mind, to believe it and to trust it, the very promise of God. It's time to plant that word of God in your heart so that it will never be removed, so that it is the thing that holds you up and gives you hope and surety of everlasting life as you come and believe and trust in God's word. It's time to plant that word of God within your very heart. And it's time to pluck up something. It's time to pluck up that old life, that old life of sin and rebellion against God. It's time to plant up that old way of thinking, to pluck it up, to get rid of it, and to have done with it. It's time to pluck up that old life and come and be renewed by the Spirit of God, by a new birth. Look here in verse 3. It's time to kill. It's time to kill off your sin. Friends, you'll only kill it off by the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, as he died on the cross to atone for sin such as ours. But we need to do away with sin. We need to mortify it in our flesh. We need to kill off that old sin. But also, it is a time to heal. There needs to be a time of healing in our souls. Perhaps there needs to be a healing from hatred and bitterness. Our sin-sick souls need to be healed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, look here in verse 3 again. We have here a time to break down and a time to build up. You need to break down your old prejudices against the Christian faith and against the Bible message. Or we need to break down our old prejudices and all the things that we hold up to stop ourselves coming and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to break these things down so that we can come freely to the Saviour and know his grace and his mercy. And we need to build something up. We need to build up now new hopes and knowledge of the God of grace and mercy and of the gospel. We need to build up great encouragement to us to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and to know his grace. Build up hope and future assurance that the Lord will bless us and help us. Oh, look here in verse 4. This is a time to weep. A time to weep. To weep over sin. To weep over those lost years. To weep over a life spent without the Lord, without any true thankfulness, without any real worship, without any real holiness. A time to weep over such a life. And yet, a time to laugh. A time to rejoice in sins forgiven and true hopes of heaven. A time to rejoice and to laugh, to be excited that God would do our souls good and that he would bless us with everlasting life, that should make us laugh, that God should do such a thing for us who deserve nothing but his wrath and his judgment. Oh, friends, and it is a time to mourn, a time to mourn over those wasted years and opportunities of rebellion and snatched lives from God, so that we think that all of that, all things are ours by right, having no understanding that God has given them to us by his love and mercy. A time to mourn over those years of our life when we lived in defiance of God and his law. A time to mourn over all our coldness toward this God of kindness and love. And yet a time to leap and to dance and to be amazed to be amazed at the amazing grace of God, to be so filled with amazement and wonder that God should forgive us, who are the last to deserve such a thing, that he should forgive us and save us and give us heaven instead of hell, and that we should be those that are leaping for joy and dancing, as it were, in our hearts at such a restoration, and at Christ's love towards us, that he should go to the cross, that we might be forgiven for all our wretched sin. And our friend, look here in verse 5. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. Oh, you need to cast some stones away, friends. Cast away that stony heart and fortress that you have set up, that you have built up, that will stop anything of the grace of God penetrating your hard heart. You need to knock it down. You need to cast those stones away. And you need now to come and trust in the Saviour. Oh, you need to do that. And a time to gather stones together. Oh, friends, you need to gather these stones together. Solid things. Solid things from the Word of God that will show how much you need the Saviour and how much you need to come to him. Oh, you see it here. And oh, here in verse 5, a time to embrace. A time to embrace. Oh, friends, we need to embrace the grace of God. We need to embrace the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, our only hope of salvation and forgiveness. We need to embrace and take to our very hearts the Lord Jesus Christ himself as the only one that can bring us safely into heaven's glory. We need to embrace his forgiveness so freely offered to us, especially at this time of year. We need to embrace his love and his mercy, and we need to embrace the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ, found in the Bible, in the gospel message that he has brought to us. We need to embrace the Son, lest he be angry with us. We need to embrace that salvation which he alone can give to us. Oh, friends, what a purpose for this time of year. Embrace for yourself eternal life and heaven to come. But then also, friends, then there is also a time to refrain from embracing. Put aside those false lovers. Put aside this wealth, this world that has so allured you and you held on to for so often and for so long. Oh, friends, you need to refrain from embracing the flesh and the pride of life. Drop them. Drop them out of your life. Push them from you. Don't embrace them anymore. Don't think they can bring you any life. Don't think that they can bring you any true and lasting happiness. They won't. Oh, you need to refrain from embracing these things. Oh, verse 6. A time to get and a time to lose. It's time to get a new life. It's time to get and to gain a Saviour in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time to gain spiritual truths and those things that will take us safely into eternity. Oh, friends, it's time to gain an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ, which is everlasting heaven to come, a paradise itself. But you need at the same time to lose certain things. It is a time to lose your sin. Lose those old habits. Lose that old life. Lose those old desires. Lose yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And oh, it is a time to keep and a time to cast away. Oh, friends, come now and keep his word. Keep his word. Come now, keep his commandments. His commandments which are life. Come and keep his favour and his grace. Keep in him, abide in the Saviour. Watch yourself. Keep yourself in him, and it's time to also cast away things. Cast away your fears. Cast away your doubts. Cast away your anxiety and your questioning. Cast away, throw away all that keeps you from coming to the Saviour, Christ. In verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow. It's time to tear certain things up, friends. Destroy all that you thought was pleasing to God. Your good works, you come into church, you're sometimes praying, reading the Bible, your pleasant personality. See it all as rubbish, friends. See it all as things that could never bring you heaven. Tear them up. Rend them. Tear them from you.
and oh, friends, you see, there's also a need, a time to sow, a time for fixing things. A life torn now needs fixing, or a life made useless by sin and evil desire, by pride and selfishness. Sort it out, sow it up, begin to see it mended by the gospel, by trusting in the Saviour and seeking his power in your life. Oh, come, sort your life out, fix it in this glorious gospel way by coming to the Saviour and knowing his blessing. Well, there is a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Oh, friends, keep quiet. Keep quiet about all that you thought, wherein you have pleased God. There's nothing there. The Bible tells us that there's coming a time when every mouth will be stopped. Oh, stop your own mouth now. Be quiet about any way in which you think you have pleased God. Keep quiet. We have nothing to commend us to God, nothing to say to justify ourselves. We must be silent concerning any supposed godliness or goodness about us. But it's time also to speak. It's time to speak. Speak out concerning your sin. Confess it. Confess it to God. Tell him about it. Tell him how wretched it is. And tell him how wretched you feel about it. We need to pray. We need to speak. We need to pray. We need to speak with the Lord, to plead with him, and to tell him of all our sin and seek his forgiveness for us. Verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate. Friends, it's time, this time of year, as always, it's time to love him who died upon the cross. It's time to love him who died in agony in the place of sinners like us. It's time to love him who loved us and gave himself for us. It's time to love him that came into this mean and sin-sick world of ours to be a saviour to all those that will put their trust in him. And for everyone that has come and trusted in him, then forever they have loved him with fervent hearts, become real worshippers of this God of salvation. We need to love him. But then also there is a time here even that we need to hate all that has kept us from him. We need to hate all that sin that has made that great barrier between us and our God. Friends, hate those things which keep you from Christ, even the ordinary things of life. Relatively hate them until you come to love this Saviour. A time of war and a time of peace. Oh, friends, a time of war, of turmoil, of struggle to seek and to keep on until we find the Lord. For the devil, the enemy of our soul, will set up a war in our souls so that we never find him. Oh, friends, this may be a time of war, but we need to come through this war to a time of peace. A time of peace that will come to our souls. Peace with God. Oh, friends, what peace will come to our souls after such a war? This is the purpose of this time of year, that we might know what it is to see these great purposes that God has set forth in our lives, and all that we might know the grace of God. We have here in verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die. Oh, that this might be a day when we're born again of the Spirit of God and we see the great purpose of God for our lives. A day when our old life dies off, as it were, and we become new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless us as we seek him and understand something of the purpose of even this time of year. Amen. Let's pray together.